Turning your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at verse 5 through 11. I don't know what that squeak was in this microphone here, but we'll get it figured out. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5 through 11. I did want to say before we get started this morning here with the message that in the teen class today, I encourage the teens to, as long as their parents were okay with it, for the teens to sit up front. I am fine either way. If you want your teens to sit with you, that is perfectly fine, and you have veto power there. That is why they are sitting up here, because I encourage them to do that. You're the parent. You make the rules. Amen. And I just wanted to let you know that here this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 11 is where we're going to be here today. And going to be continuing on in this series in the book of Hebrews. And only got about a chapter and a half left of this study. And the Lord has used it greatly in my heart. But Hebrews chapter 12, and look at verse 5. The Bible says this, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get started here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for the chastening, Lord, in which we endure, Lord, the chastisement. Lord, we're going to talk about that today. And Lord, our flesh does not like it, but Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to realize, Lord, the value of it today through this message. Lord, I pray that I would be out of the way, that you would guide and direct my thoughts and my words, and that each one of us would draw closer to you today. And Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray they'd come to know you today, Lord, during this service. And Lord, we ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, here in this passage, we read a word there in different variations of the word. The penman here mentioned the word that none of us like, and that is the word chastisement. Now, when we think of this word chastisement, it is not something that we in the flesh would say, well, I just can't wait to be chastened by the Lord. I just can't wait for chastisement to come my way. No, if that is your mindset, understand you've got something wrong upstairs. Amen. Our flesh doesn't like chastisement. But what we're going to find today is that there is value in chastisement. And that's the message I want to preach to you this morning is this. It's titled this, The Value of Chastisement. The Value of Chastisement. Now, we may not be excited about chastisement, but we as believers, we should see that there is value in the chastening of the Lord. We see this word chastisement here in Webster's 1828. It says this, chastisement is correction. It is punishment. It is pain inflicted for punishment and correction, either by stripes or otherwise. However, chastisement is not always physical pain. Chastisement is not always a physical punishment. Sometimes it is, but other times, as we've discussed through the book of Hebrews and also as we're going through the book of James as well, sometimes it is trials and troubles in the life of a believer, something that they will experience along their Christian walk. And we see both of these applications here in this passage. So the value of chastisement. It's my desire, my prayer this morning that God would use this message in our hearts, this truth here today, and mold and shape our minds into seeing that chastisement is valuable as believers and to believers rather than seeing it as just something else that we just have to deal with. Well, it's just something we're going through. It's just something that we just have to work our way through. No, in the life of a believer, though it's not comfortable, chastisement is valuable. And we'll look at some things on why chastisement is valuable. So first of all, this morning, understand chastisement is valuable because of this. Chastisement reminds us of the truth in God's word. Isn't it amazing how when we are on the mountaintop, so to speak, things are going great, we give less of our time to God and His Word? Well, things are going well. We're just going through life and we're enjoying life. But as soon as we start that descent down into the valley, and sometimes it is a very fast descent, sometimes it's just a simple phone call and it takes us from the mountaintop all the way to the valley. And as soon as that happens, we realize we need to get back into the Word of God. All of us have been there and we've seen that happen in our lives. In the book of Hebrews, we see Hebrew believers who seemed overwhelmed by troubles. And the writer here, the penman, was trying to encourage them to accept those troubles. Yes, they're going through them. Yes, they were very real to them. Some physical pain and all of that. But accept those troubles as chastisement and realize also that those troubles, that chastisement that they were going through, the chastening of the Lord was also there to train them on how to live the Christian life. Boy, that's a different way to look at trouble, isn't it? You know, we want to look at trouble when we see that, and we want to look at it as just something that we just have to try to deal with, or something that is just pain that we're going through. Well, I just have to make it through this, and I'll be okay. What if we saw chastisement as what God desires it to be many times in our lives, as the training grounds? You know, when we go into a class, many times we go in there and we'll have our whatever study book we need, and we may have our laptop to type notes out, or we may have a pen and paper there, and we're trying to learn what it is about that little thing that we're trying to learn about, whatever the class may be, and we're writing down notes and we're writing down all of these different things that we want to learn about that, and that is our training ground, if you will. If you're in sales, maybe it is a job in which you're trying to learn more about, and you're taking notes on all of that. And the training is never a fun part. There's always tests and there's quizzes and all of these things. We don't enjoy that through that learning, but we know that through those tests, through those quizzes, through that challenging of our mind, through that challenging situation, we're going to be better at our secular job or the job in the ministry or whatever it may be. Why can't we see our chastisement that way? Why can't we see the troubles that we go through in life as that way? God is training us. God is using these things to bring us along exactly where we need to be. And anyone that has been saved for any amount of time, understand God has used things in your life, trials that you've went through, troubles that you've had to endure. He's used those things to prepare you for where you are now in your spiritual life. Now, we can look back and we can say, well, I had to go through this trial and I went through that, and I can see the Lord prepared me for during that time to get through this time and all of those things. But yet when we're in the middle of the trial, so often we refuse to believe that God's going to use it for our good. Understand, chastening reminds us in the truth of God's word. We see here in verse 5, it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Understand who he's speaking to here. He is speaking to ones who knew the Bible. They knew the scriptures. They had been trained in the scriptures their whole life. And what's he say? He says, "You've forgotten about it." You need to be reminded on what the scriptures say. You need to be reminded on the truth of God's word. You need to be reminded this chastening is not a bad thing. Remember what you have learned as children. Verse 5 says they have forgotten the exhortation. This means that they had forgotten the principles of chastisement. They had been taught this truth. This was not something that was new to them. However, though they had been taught this in the past, they needed to be reminded of it over and over again. Isn't it true that for those of us who were raised in church or ones that have been in church for a long time now, we know what the Word of God says? As a whole, if you will, if you've been in church for any amount of time, if someone was to ask you, tell me the basics of the account in Scripture of David and Goliath, we could tell them those things. Jonah and the whale, Daniel in the den of lions, and all of those types of things. We could walk them through maybe some things on creation and maybe even some things about prophecy, be able to tell them a couple things. We know what the Bible says in our mind. But as soon as we start going through a trial, for some reason that knowledge is nowhere to be found. We act as though the Word of God can't help us through those things. Chastisement is valuable because it reminds us of the value of the Word of God. It reminds us of the truth that is there. That's going to help us through every single one of those things. We may know the stories of the Bible. We may know those accounts in Scripture. We may know that David fought Goliath, but when we are in a battle, we forget that we are serving the same God that enabled David to slay that giant. Understand, we may know what the Word of God says. We may know the stories, the account in Scriptures. We may know those things, but in the middle of chastisement, oftentimes we need to be reminded of what God's Word says, because though we may know the story, we often forget the principle that is put forth in God's word. Lord, help us. Whatever it is in your life that you're going through, whatever you have questions about, understand the answers are in the Word of God. And most likely, if you've been in church for any amount of time, most likely you've been taught the principle, you've been taught the truth that you need to learn. But what has happened? We've forgotten the exhortation. We've forgotten that. We allow ourselves to be blinded so many times by things of this life. It's exactly what we see here. They had been taught, yet they had forgotten. Look at the book of Deuteronomy, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And verse 23. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible says this: "Take heed unto yourselves," notice, "lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee." Understand, this was not too long after God had made this proclamation, after he had given this commandment here. And what are they being taught there? They're saying, take heed to yourself, lest you forget. Keep that at the front of your mind. Understand, this is what God said. You need to remember those things. You know, 148 times in the Word of God, God's people are told to remember. Told to remember. But so many times, we forget the Word of God. Going through life and everything is smooth sailing, we tend to forget about God. And many times God has to take someone from a smooth sailing place in which they've forgotten about Him. They were in a storm here and they were on fire for God and they were trusting God and they were reading His Word and praying and being a witness for Him and all of those things. And God brought them out of that storm and all of a sudden it is smooth sailing. And as they're going through that smooth sailing, the further and further away they get from that storm that they were in, the further and further they get away from the truth that they were taught in God's Word. They forget about it. And then chastisement comes. You see, we should see the value of chastisement because though our sinful flesh tries to forget what God's Word is, chastisement oftentimes brings it back to our attention. We need to understand, we need to remember what God's Word says. Remember these things. We get so busy living life and providing for our family and caring for children and running here and running there and going all over the place that too often we forget about God. We do not read His Word. We do not hide His Word in our hearts. And when we are going through life, everything is going well and we just stay on that path. However, when times get tough, that is oftentimes when people will cry out to God. Church, we should realize God is just as good in the good times as He is in the bad times. He is good all the time, and chastisement reminds us of that. When things are going well, oftentimes we pat ourselves on the back. Well, look what I've done. And then when we get placed into that valley, our mind is forced back into the Word of God. Praise the Lord, we can go to the Word of God at any time. He is our ever-present help in time of trouble, and I praise the Lord for that. But chastisement helps us to remember the truth of God's Word. There is a value in chastisement because it is a way of recalibrating our mind back to where it should be, and it will often bring us face to face with that realization that we need the Lord. We cannot live life without it. And chastisement reminds us of that. So first of all, chastisement is valuable because it reminds us of the truth in God's Word. Second of all, this morning, understand this. Chastisement is valuable because it helps us to realize the depth of God's love. It helps us to realize the depth of God's love. Look at verse 6 of our passage. It says this, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." Now, wait a second. You see the word loveth and you see the word chasteneth. One word apart from those two. In our minds, you can't put those two together. Well, you can't love someone and hurt someone at the same time. Well, that's what this world wants to say. Amen. But the Bible says this, "And whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." The chastening does not come because God does not love us. It comes because He does love us. God is, His love is seen not only in the good times, but also in the bad. In the book of Job, we see that Job, through his chastisement and after all the pain and loss and suffering, he still trusted the Lord because he knew that God loved him. Isn't it true that we as parents, we discipline our children because we care for them? That's why we discipline them. And the Bible teaches that there is such thing as biblical discipline. You want to look at a lot of the problems that are going on in this world is because not enough kids got biblically disciplined. Now, I'm not talking about the Old Testament law where you take them out and stone them. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about biblical discipline. And though I wasn't happy at the time when I was being disciplined, and I know it's hard for you to believe that I ever needed discipline, but I did, and I still do, and God can avouch for that, amen. But I didn't appreciate the discipline at the time when I was growing up. But now I realize exactly what it was for. You know, at the time when my parents would say things like this, "This is going to hurt me worse than it's going to hurt you," I said, "Well, give me the paddle then, amen." I said, I don't think so. This math doesn't add up here. But looking back on it now, I praise the Lord for parents that disciplined me biblically because it was a training process. Chastening of God is the exact same. You see, children should be disciplined. I am against abuse, of course. I'm not saying that we should abuse our children, but there is much to be said about biblical discipline. The Bible says that a child left to himself brings his mother to shame as well. And there's so much we could go on into that. But the truth is this, a child's mind, just like ours, is bent towards evil. And we as parents are responsible for lovingly and biblically disciplining them for wrongdoing. But the same is true for us as believers. You know, the Lord chastens us not because he wants to, not because he wants to, us to know that, well, he's just all powerful and he can do whatever he wants. He disciplines us, he chastens us because he loves us, because he cares for us. Whatever chastening you're going through, no matter how hard it may be, whether it be a chastening for wrongdoing or just a test of your faith, understand and realize that you're going through it because God wants what's best for you. Understand your Heavenly Father, who knows exactly what you've done and what I've done. He knows exactly where we're going to be. He knows the shape spiritually we need to be in when we get there. And he knows exactly the testing we need to go through to be where we need to be at that point. Let's trust him through that. And let's realize that God is doing this not because he hates us, but because he loves us. The Bible says, who the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Understand that God loves you. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And understand this, prosperity gospel that gets taught all over the place. It's amazing to me the crowds that they will get and all of that. Ones that say, well, if you just do this, then you're never going to have any problems. And if you accept Christ, then you'll never go through another struggle and all of those things. The Bible says here that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. It also says, notice, and scourgeth every son. And of course, that's speaking of believers there. So women, you're not off the hook there either. Amen. Every son that he receiveth. If you're a believer, if you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to go through chastening. No matter what these prosperity gospel people say, well, you'll never have another issue, or you'll never have a trouble paying this bill or that bill, whatever. Understand, they are lying. Now, the Lord will always provide for his own. The Bible teaches us that truth. But we will go through those things because God loves us and he's preparing us for where we need to go. Look at Proverbs chapter 13, if you will. Proverbs 13 and verse 24. Proverbs 13, verse 24. You know, we should never be surprised that we go through some chastening. The Bible says we will. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24, the Bible says this, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Notice, love is found in chastening. And chastening is found in love. There's a song that all of us know, and I'm just going to read through the words of this song here. And it's something that all of us no doubt have heard at one time or another, and you'll know these words as I read through it as well, and it's this: the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The wandering child is reconciled by God's beloved Son. The aching soul again made whole, and priceless pardon won. When ancient times shall pass away, and human thrones and kingdoms fall, when those who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Grace will resound the whole earth round, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and everyone a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. That song there, of course, it is a song that is written by man, but no doubt a song that was written by someone who realized what the love of God was. And the love of God is something that we will never fully comprehend. How God could love sinners like you and me so much that He would send His own Son to die on the cross for us. We can't comprehend that. But God's love is so good. Sent His Son to shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, not to pay a debt that He owed, but to pay a debt that we owed. But we couldn't pay it. We didn't deserve to go to heaven. We don't deserve to have an eternity outside of hellfire. We don't deserve that. But God's love is so good that God sent His Son to die for us. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior today, understand God loves you. And He sent His Son to die for you individually. His love is pure, it's measureless, and it's strong. There's value in chastisement. It helps us to realize the depth of God's love. It's amazing to me the different things that I've went through and what other people have went through and told me stories about their circumstance and all. It never ceases to amaze me how they said through all of that pain and those things that I was going through, it's just amazing how real the love of God became to me. How close I could feel to God during that time. Why? Because the love of God is there, and oftentimes it takes chastisement for us to realize exactly how deep His love is. It doesn't just love us when things are going well. It doesn't just love us when we have what we would consider things to give. Understand, if we gave everything to God, we still haven't given enough. God loves us despite who we are. Verse 9 of our passage, it says this, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" Understand, we see what's true about chastisement here. As a child, I did not like to be disciplined. I did not enjoy spankings. I would have rather skipped those things. But as an adult today, looking back, I'm so glad that my parents loved me and they wanted what was best for me. And I respect them for that. I praise the Lord for my parents. He's blessed me with wonderful parents. But understand, verse 9 declares that in that passage, it says they corrected us, the fathers of our flesh, our own parents, they corrected us and we gave them reverence. And they said, it says here that if we did that for them, we realize that they love us. How much more should we realize our Father loves us for that? You know, our parents, and I know, of course, being a parent myself, oftentimes we'll tell our children to do something and they will get disciplined if they do not obey. What are they supposed to obey? They're supposed to obey the words that we tell them. Go clean your room. Go do this. And all of these things, we give them things to do and they are to obey our words. If they do not obey our words, then they get disciplined. Understand, we're disciplining them for not obeying what we said. And that is the right thing. It's not a bad thing. But what it's saying here in this verse is this. If we will give our parents reverence, notice the fathers of our flesh, and it says in verse 10, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure." They were disciplining for us not obeying them. How much more should our Father discipline us? And how much more should we love Him for not obeying Him? He is Almighty God. No matter how great our parents are, they're not God. And if we give them reverence and we praise the Lord for the way that they raised us and the way that they brought us up, how much more should we see the love of God in the chastening? Too often in the midst of chastening, people quit. People give up on God. How foolish that is, quitting on the one who loves you the most. Don't allow the devil to convince you That chastening is from a lack of love from God. But understand that the Bible declares that because of God's love, we are chastened. Because of what God wants us to know, He chastens us. As we look at this passage here, as we read down through there in verse 7 when it says, if ye endure chastening, understand as we went through the book of James, we talked about the word endure. That is talking about keeping the right heart attitude through the chastening, realizing that though our flesh does not enjoy this, it may be painful in those things. We're realizing that God is doing this for our best. God has a plan for us. God knows all things. And that's what it's speaking of there as well. Enduring, it's not just trying to hold on to that last thread just to get through this chastening. No, it's realizing, Lord, I know I'm going through this. I know you've got me going through this for a purpose, and Lord, I'm going to trust you. I know the pain is tough. I know sometimes it feels like more than I can bear, but Lord, you know what's best. And keeping that right heart attitude is what all of us need to do. Notice, first of all, we see there that the chastening is valuable because it reminds us of the truth of God's word. Secondly, it helps us to realize the depth of God's love. And notice number three here as well this morning. Notice, it helps us to become more like Christ. You know, as we read through the Bible, we'll find, especially there in the New Testament, we find that we are to strive to be like Christ. We are not going to become gods, but we are to be Christ-like. We are to learn from what Christ did, and we are to strive to be like Him in holiness. And what we see here in verse 7 through 10 is this: if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, understand there in verse 7 and 8, that is a truth that we must nail down in our minds if we are to have the right perspective through chastening. If we are being chastened, if God is putting us through tests and through trials, understand in verse 7 there, it says, for what son is he who the Father chasteneth not? If you say that you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, understand, if you have, you're going to go through chastening. If you do not go through chastening, maybe you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior. That's between you and God. I can't speak for that. I can't say who is saved and who's not. But understand, God chastens those who He loves. Now, this doesn't mean we need to be like those monks that will go and they will constantly whip themselves, trying to bring their flesh into subjection, they say, and they are flogging themselves. That's not what I'm talking about. Well, I have to be constantly in chastisement or I'm not saved. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this, that the Bible here declares that in verse 8, but if we be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, all believers are to be partakers in chastisement. It says, then are ye bastards and not sons. That's what that's saying there is this, that you're just people. You haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You're just lost. If you don't go through trials and tribulations, you're going to go through that. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said that ye shall have trials in this world. Ye shall have tribulation. And those things help us to become more like Christ. Too often we're going through trials, we're acting as though it's the end of the world. Going through something and, well, I just don't think I'm ever going to get through this. I just think this is going to be the end of me here. I just can't have joy in this trial. And we're all down in the mouth about these things. But the truth of the matter is this, that we are going to have trials. But too often we think things like this. Well, I'm a believer. I've trusted Christ. I shouldn't have to go through these things. No, as a believer, if you've trusted Christ, you're going to go through them. But you should see the value in those things. You know, the Bible does not teach the absence of chastening in a believer's life, but quite the opposite. It teaches the reality of chastening. We are chastened because we have a heavenly Father who loves us, and He wants what is best for me and you. We are called to be like Christ. We are called to strive for holiness. We are to be lights in this dark world. But if we are consumed with unrepentant sin, and if we are living for ourselves rather than living for God, then we will not be the lights in this world we're called to be, and we will not be living for Christ. God chastens us. He takes things from us simply because of His love for us, that there is a value in chastisement. What an amazing truth it is here in this verse to realize that we can have joy in our chastening, understanding this simple truth, because I'm going through chastening not because I'm not a child of God, but because I am. I'm going through chastening, and no matter how this ends, I've got a home in heaven. No matter what pain I'm going to go through, someday that pain's all going to be over. No matter how much my body is breaking down, I'm going to have a new body. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. A new life there in heaven. And praise the Lord, there will be no tears. There will be no pain. There will be no sorrow and all of those things. Realize that that chastisement, it helps us to become more and more like Christ, because it gets our mind onto the path that it needs to be. What a wonderful thing to know that as you're going through chastisement, that you're a child of God. God does not only chasten us because we did wrong, but He chastens us also to make us what we are called to be. I want you to look at Leviticus chapter 11, if you will. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. Leviticus chapter 11, in verse 44. Here in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, the Bible says this: "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Notice there on the first half of that verse: "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy." You know, as we go through chastisement, oftentimes we focus on God's Word, and we realize that God's Word, it contains the truth that we need. We realize the depth of God's love. But then also as we go through chastisement, many times it helps us to focus on our relationship with God and what we are supposed to be. You know, nowhere in the Bible am I told to be more spiritual than you. Nowhere in the Bible are you told to be more spiritual than me. If you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, we are all to be striving to be like Christ. It says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." The Lord God is holy. We are told to be like Christ. We are not called to be just better than one another. We are never told that we should strive to be holier than the other people in the pew, or holier than the worst sinner in church. Because if it wasn't for God, we'd all be the worst sinners in church. Amen. God is good, and there is no righteousness in us. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. No matter what you've done, no matter what I've done, we're all on an even plane when it comes to God. We're not called to be better than one another. We are called to strive to be like Christ. We're called to be holy. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16, the Bible says this: "Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." As we read there in verse 13 through 15, notice: "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance." So what he's saying there is this: Don't act as though you did before when you were ignorant of the things of the scriptures, when you were ignorant of these teachings. Don't do those things. But notice verse 15. But as he which is called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy for I am holy. That conversation is talking about our daily walk, our life. We are called to be holy in all manner of life. And the Bible tells us exactly how we are to be. You know, many times you go through chastening, what you're going to find is this, that God may have you going through a test that affects your health, and it may slow you down in one regard or another. But sometimes God is using that to slow us down in order to speak to us and say, you need to get this right in your life. There's this area of your conversation that's not holy. You've got this thing over here. You've got these people over here that are tend to be gossipers, and you are becoming more and more like them. So he may remove you from that for a moment and recalibrate our minds, if you will. He will oftentimes use chastening in one area of life to get something straight in the other area of life, because we are called to be like Christ, and chastening is valuable. It is. It's a value to us because it helps us to be more and more like Christ. Church, in order for us to live the way that God desires for us to live, and the only way we can control the thinking, our thinking in the midst of chastening, is for us to realize that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and the chastening comes to make us more and more like Christ. And the notice last of this morning, number four, it enables us to live peaceably. Now, if I was to ask for a show of hands this morning, I'm not going to do that because I think we would all agree here. But if I was to ask who desires to live a peaceful life, I think all of us would say, yeah, we don't want to live a life that is constantly going through all sorts of things. We want to have a peaceful life. We would all agree with that. Well, in Hebrews, in our passage, chapter 12 and verse 11, it says this, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. All of us would agree that we desire to live a peaceful life. We do not desire contention, but we must also see that by the truth of God's word, peace will come as a result of chastening. You want to be righteous? Well, you're going to go through some chastening. You're going to go through some purifying, if you will, when they take gold and silver, these precious metals, and there may be some things that are mixed in them. What do? They put it into the furnace and it purifies them. And that song that Ron Hamilton wrote, it's I shall come forth as gold. It's purifying, it's cleansing, it's removing all of those things. It doesn't happen by just sitting in a sunny with a high of 75 day. No, it comes, that purifying comes by being put through the furnace, through the chastening. We must realize as believers that chastening is valuable in our life. It's something that God desires to help us through this world that we live in. It is not peaceful. Why? Because it is unrighteous. That's why. If a home is not a peaceful home, it's because it is filled with unrighteousness. It is filled with sin and those things. Understand, sin is going to be a part of our everyday life. We are sinful beings. We have to die to the flesh daily, but we are called to be like Christ. We are called to live as lights in this world, and chastening helps us to realize how we can do that, because it recalibrates our mind. You see, chastening is not something that we enjoy. It's not something that we would be the first in line to sign up for. We are not to do things that bring upon chastisement, if you will. But understand, biblical chastening, whether it be testing or judgment for wrongdoing, it is valuable, and we must see it as such. You know, as the Baptist forefathers, Bible believers, back in the Dark Ages, as they were being persecuted, as they were being tortured, as they were being killed for their belief in the Bible, what we find is that as they were going through those times of testing, when people were literally being beheaded, when people were being drugged behind horses until the flesh was literally torn from their body, when people, because they believed in biblical baptism by immersion, they were being drowned because of that belief. You know, during those times of what we would call testing and what we would call chastening and all of that, during those times, the gospel went forth and more people got saved. It wasn't during the times of just an easy street. No. It was during the times of testing. I think too often we as believers, when we go through testing and when we go through trials, we tend to allow it to discourage us to the point of which we're not interested in giving someone else the gospel because I've got enough going on right now. God understands what I'm going through. No, it was through those times that God used those people because they realized that the chastening brought them closer to God. The chastening brought them to the realization of the truth of God's word. That chastening, it brought them to the realization at just how much God loved them, how deep the love of God was. And that chastening brought them to the realization that that is what taught them to be more and more like Christ and how to be righteous and to live peaceably. And because of that, they wanted to tell everyone about it. Chastening is valuable. And we must realize that. We must keep that at the front of our minds. We must not allow the devil to convince us that, well, you're going through these trials, so you can let off the gas a little bit when it comes to living the Christian life. No, when we have breath in our lungs, realize it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. The day is quickly approaching in which Christ is coming back. We've got a short time. Let's not allow our chastening to get us down. Let's allow God to work through that chastening, and let's in our minds allow the Lord to convince us through His word that chastening is valuable.